American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Yes, we must take America back. Welcome, folks, to the National Intelligence Report here at Republic Broadcasting Network for the 20th day of October in the year of 2023. Before I jump into today's program, which I think is going to be a dynamite program, and I'm really fortunate to have the guests that I have with me, but before we get into that, I wanted to just kind of tell you folks, how much is freedom of speech worth to you? I know it's got that word freedom in it, but let me tell you something. Anything worth having is never free. And how much does freedom of speech and the other freedoms, how much do they actually mean to you? Well, Republic Broadcasting Network is one of the last bastions of free speech in this country. I promise you that. From an inside point of view. So let's do whatever we can to promote free speech in America. Again, it's not free. Well, today, folks, I have with me a gentleman I met well over a year ago back in Alabama. We have conversed on several occasions, emails, what have you, and he was gracious enough to come on to today's program with me. And so everyone out there in RBN land, I would like to introduce you to my good friend Brent Bachman. Brent, how are you this evening?
Oh, pretty good, Mike. And hi to the audience.
Well, considering you're out there in Vegas, it's not quite evening for you yet, right?
No, it's about mid-afternoon.
Okay, so I'll be evening, you be mid-afternoon, okay?
Okay.
That sounds like a plan. Well, one of the things I've been wanting to do for a long time, and one of the things I have noticed in my research and study of history, is that there's nothing that this government likes better than to cover up the image, the life, or the absolute existence of a brave man who would stand for what is right and what is true. We can't let the American public know about people such as that because, wow, we can't let them know that there are actual people who have tried to tell them the truth. So let's just obliterate their memory. And I don't think there is probably a stronger one to be obliterated than possibly the gentleman we're going to talk about today, Brent. And that would be, you know, our good friend who wrote the book, Color. I say good friend philosophically, who wrote the book, Color, Communism, and Common Sense. And so one Manning Johnson. Brent, when did you first learn about Manning Johnson?
Probably a couple of years ago. I had heard a broadcast, you know, with you, Daryl, and, you know, I believe Robert also. And he pretty much told the inside story of communism in the black community in America.
Boy, did he ever do that. And thank you for mentioning Robert, because I kind of wanted to dedicate this program to him, Brent, with your permission, please, sir. Because Robert is a trusty friend. You know, I've talked to him for years on the phone. I was very unfortunate in never meeting him, and Robert passed away this past June. And you want to talk about a true American hero, you know, in everything that he tried to do. Truth meant everything to Robert A. Hudson. And I tell you what, he is sorely missed. Brent, I'm jealous. You got to meet the man in person.
Yeah, only once. We, you know, looked at, you know, meeting again, but, you know, he needed to move. And I'm thinking probably where he worked at probably got him where he's at now.
Oh, that would be unfortunate for sure, but I'm not so much aware of that, but
Oh, he worked at the Tesla battery plant.
Oh, my goodness.
Up in the Reno area.
Oh, my. You know, I had never delved that deep into what he did. He just told me that he had, you know, what his time was. But, you know, as far as dealing with each one. But, folks, I would like to read you the beginning of the, you know, kind of the Color of Communism and Common Sense book that was written by Manning Johnson. And let me start with the preface that was written by Archibald Roosevelt. And he said, in modern literature, anti-communists are generally pictured as scoundrels. And boy, is that true. On the other hand, left-wing perjurers and jailbirds are shown as persecuted lambs. But there is a special vitriol uncorked for those who have followed communism and have repented to such an extent that they are publicly willing to stand up and testify against it by word and deed. The writer of this pamphlet, Manning Johnson, is an example of such treatment. The Supreme Court of the United States used a communist statement in a decision of the majority opinion as delivered by Justice Felix Frankfurter to brand Manning Johnson as giving tainted testimony and cited as a basis for this statement, the Communist Brief. The left-wing papers, including the New York Herald Tribune, joyfully took up the cry. Of course, careful investigation shows that Manning Johnson was not a perjurer, and it would be easy to prove this in any court which was not dominated by such a character as one Felix Frankfurter. Manning Johnson's story begins very much like many other Negroes brought up in a religious home. He was inducted into the party largely because of the preachings of a communist bishop of the Episcopal Church, William Montgomery Brown. Manning Johnson was a man of ability and education and felt himself frustrated by his race and color and fell under the spell of the communist propaganda. The communists, however, reckoned without understanding that the man they had enlisted in their cause had for them certain dangerous qualities. He had a Christian upbringing, he was intelligent, and he had courage. His Christian upbringing made him revolt at the obscene immorality of the Communist Party and its members. His intelligence makes him see through the stupidity of the communist doctrine and see that he should strive to be a first-class Negro instead of an imitation of a third-class white man. His encouragement made him willing to confess his sins in public and try to expiate them. It is for this last quality that the Frankfurter Supreme Court and left-wing press will never forgive him. I hope you will read Manning Johnson's pamphlet carefully. If you do, you will understand how the communists have used and are still using certain American Negroes to the detriment of all Americans, white or black. You will read the story of one Negro who has gone through the fire and come out tempered steel. Signed, Archibald Roosevelt, July the 22nd, 1958. He was president of the Alliance Incorporated. And so, Brett, here we have a gentleman, I believe, born, what, 1909, somewhere like that, in Washington, D.C., and was obviously a man of above-average intelligence for the Communist Party to actually bring him out and be willing to spend the money to take him to Moscow for training. And it's kind of very illustrative of exactly what the Marxists in this country are doing to us. Your thoughts on that, please, Brent?
They look for the best, and hopefully they're hoping they're short-sighted, you know, going for the glitz and glamour of what they're doing, and I got from the book that they're, you know, living the high life. You know, they have, you know, fame, glory, you know, they're living in good digs, and they can look down their noses.
Well, very well said, and I could not agree more. And so let's jump to the words of, you know, the gentleman subject for today, Manning Johnson. And he said in his own book, and I quote, 10 years I labored in the cause of communism. I was a dedicated comrade. All my talents and efforts were zealously used to bring about the triumph of communism in America and throughout the world. To me, the end of capitalism would mark the beginning of an interminable period of plenty, peace, prosperity, and universal comradeship. All racial and class differences and conflicts would end forever after the liquidation of the capitalist, their government, and their supporters. A world union of Soviet states under the hegemony of Russia would free and lead mankind to utopia. Being an idealist, I was told this bill of goods by a Negro graduate of the Lenin Institute in Moscow. The color of one's skin is no bar to a young man or woman dreaming of making a better world. Like other Negroes, I experienced and saw many injustices and inequities around me based upon color, not ability. I was told that the decadent capitalist system is responsible, that mass pressure could force concessions, but that just prolongs the life of capitalism, and I must unite and work with all of those who care more or less agree that capitalism must go, who more or less agree. I'm sorry, I got the wrong word in there. Little did I realize until I was deeply enmeshed in the Red Conspiracy that just and seeming grievances are exploited to transform idealism into a cold and ruthless weapon against the capitalist system. That this is the end. I'm sorry, guys. I can't help it. I got that phone call coming in. I'm sorry. But anyway, indeed, I had entered the Red Conspiracy in the vain belief that it was the way to a new, better, and superior world system of society. 10 years later, thoroughly disillusioned, I abandoned communism. The experiences of those years in outer darkness are like a horrible nightmare. I saw communism in all of its naked cruelty, ruthlessness, and utter contempt of Christian attributes and passions. And two, I saw the low value placed upon human life, the total lack of respect for the dignity of man, the betrayal of trust, the terror of the secret police, and the bloody hand of the assassin during and since those fateful years when I embraced communism. I was lured into the Red Movement by way of the American Negro Labor Congress, one of the many front organizations set up by the communists to trap the naive, the unwary, the unsuspecting, and the idealistic Negro. The use of such attractive and appealing fronts as a means of entrapment is a most important serpentine method of the Reds. After 2 years of practical training and organizing street demonstrations, inciting mob violence, how to fight the police, and how to politically throw a brick and hide, I was ready, in the opinion of my leaders, for a top communist school. At a secret national training school in New York City, I was given an extensive and intensive course in the theory and practice of red political warfare. As a result, I was appointed district organizer by the Political Bureau of the Communist Party in the Buffalo, New York area, one of the vital industrial sections of our country. It was in the position of district organizer that I learned to use secret codes, mail drops, organize clandestine meetings, shake police shadows, and other underground activities. At the time, I became acquainted with the nature of communist sabotage and espionage. My zeal, training, both theoretical and practical, combined with loyalty and willingness to sacrifice, changed me from a novice into a dedicated Red, a professional revolutionist. Consequently, I climbed rapidly to the National Committee, the highest governing body of the Communist Party in America. Well, Brent, have you ever heard of any of these organizations, sir?
No. But bringing that towards today, I would say BLM and Antifa are using those very tactics.
Oh, excellent observation. I could not agree with you more. And we all know how the two ladies who started BLM have become fantastically wealthy beyond comprehension, right?
Yeah. They're buying mansions and what have you.
Yeah, one of them, the last I heard, one of them owns five homes.
Wow.
And, you know, Brent, the thing that bothers me with the depression, and intentionally in many cases, of the black race, and that's not an accident, but how can someone just easily agree to sell their own race down the river for five mansions?
They probably figure they don't have another shot at it, or don't have the abilities to do that, and they sell their soul, pretty much like Bob Dylan.
Oh, admitted. Oh man. Well, let me jump a little bit into more to Manning Johnson, and then we're going to get into a little bit deeper parts of the book, which I think are incredible, but I want to use some more of his words, and that being, and again I quote, folks, being a Negro top communist, I was placed on the National Negro Commission, an important subcommittee of the National Committee of the Communist Party. On this commission, which was created on direct orders from Moscow to facilitate the subversion of the Negroes in America, I began to realize the full implications of how the Negro is used as a political dupe by the Kremlin hierarchy under the guise of unity of black and white in the struggle. Several top white communists, such as James S. Allen, Elizabeth Lawson, the late Robert Bob Minor, and George Blake Charney, were placed on the National Negro Commission. These white communists wielded more power than the nominal Negro heads of those commissions. In a word, they are like white overseers. Every Negro member was aware of the fact that these white overseers constituted the eyes, the ears, and the voice of the Kremlin. Moreover, these white overseers are the surest functional guarantee of the maintenance of the hierarchical authoritarian control of the Kremlin over their Negro lickspittles, directing the conspiracy among Negroes in America. Well, looks like we got the first break. We'll be back on the other side, folks.
Tejibo OT Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story. It's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge. And I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
My bad, guys. Can you hear me now? All right, guys, my bad. Technical difficulty here. Every time I sit down at a computer, there's a short between the seat and the keyboard. I apologize to the listeners. I apologize to the producer, and I apologize to our guest, Brent. But we're back here, folks, and I wanted to continue with the words of Manny Johnson because I think these things are just absolutely critical. So I want to do another paragraph, please, Brent, and then get your thoughts. And, well, a couple of paragraphs, actually. One of the things he said, indeed, it is the white group on the National Negro Commission that holds full sway. Well, that reminds me of the group that was formed called the National Association for the Advancement of Communist Principles. Oh, I'm sorry, colored people. And so they are a white group, were formed by white people to control black people. But let me continue with what he had to say here. Indeed, it is the white group on the National Negro Commission that holds full sway. They flatter one or two top Negroes by making them feel they are actually participating in the formulation of policy by consulting with them prior to meetings of the commission. Then these two Negroes are assigned to lay down the line to the other Negroes on the commission. The white members check to make sure they do as they're told. Their opinion of what a Negro member says at a meeting can either make or break them. Usually the Negro who is broken is accused of petty bourgeois nationalism, that is, placing the interest of the Negro above the interest of the Communist Party. And then he goes on to say, in this connection, I observed how white women communists are used as political prostitutes, cohabitating with high-level Negro communists in order to spy on them. Through such intimate relations, these white women communists are able to elicit information pertaining to family background, sources of income, marital difficulties, arrests, convictions, opinions on communist policy, and communist leadership. This information is invaluable to the red hierarchy in their relations with their Negro lickspittles. In top red circles, this is known as bedroom politics. Now, white communist women are also used to maneuver top Negro reds into compromising positions that, if revealed, would result in public scandal or disgrace. In this way, the reds make these Negroes permanently subject to blackmail if they ever consider leaving the red movement. Moreover, this information is used to destroy the credibility of the defector should he decide to fight the red conspiracy. The highest position I attained was candidate for the political bureau, Politburo, of the Communist Party. The Politburo is a small, close-knit body carefully selected by the Kremlin hierarchy. Each member holds his position solely on the approval of the reactionary, rapacious despoilers in the Kremlin. This is the real governing body of the entire Red Conspiracy in America. A candidate is invited to sit in on deliberations with voice, but no vote. Usually a representative of the Kremlin participates in all meetings and deliberations of the Politburo. This writer sat in such meetings with Gerhard Eisler, alias Edward Brown, Hans Berger, etc., was the Kremlin representative. Eisler later jumped bail and fled the United States on the red Polish liner Batory after he was exposed and convicted of passport fraud. So, you know, that kind of gives us an idea there. Brent, your comments so far, sir?
Yeah, they've used tactics that work. You can look through history and see what they've been doing. I find also he alludes to but fails to actually identify. He says the communist, and I look at that as a blanket statement.
Yes.
But there is a specific group, and a lot of us know who they are by now. The people that have answers for everything. It's a quote.
Yes.
And, I had watched the documentary Europa. I only watched part one of it. There's 10 parts to that thing. And it's only an hour and 1 minute, the first part. And it will tell you just about everything going on.
Wow.
And where the connect is.
One of the things that I noticed here, and those of us who have done the research, know that the National Association for the Advancement of Communist Principles, the NAACP, was formed by Jewish attorneys. We also notice in Manning Johnson's report here, where he talks about the people with a lot of power within the communist movement in America, he mentions people like Gerhard Eisler and Hans Berger, and others who are also Jewish And then the two people who attacked him in the Supreme Court, Felix Frankfurter and Abe Fortas, were all real news, Jews. Real well, talk, we got some more music. Be back on the other side.
You can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Folks, to the National Intelligence Report here on the 20th day of October in the year of 2023. I'm sorry, the music was a little low for me on the last one, and I kind of overspoke on the time frame there. I apologize for that. But I do think that these words from Mr. Johnson, way back when, in the 1950s, folks, we're talking a long time ago here. But I think his points, what he said back then, are still spot on today. I don't think a darn thing has changed in all this time. Now, one more paragraph, and then I want to get my buddy Brent to jump in on this. Here's the next paragraph. He said, the assignment of political commissars to the Red Movement in America was not limited solely to America, but is an established Kremlin policy in relation to all communist parties in countries outside the Iron Curtain. Kremlin agents, such as Eisler, exercise an awesome power over the white as well as the black lickspittles, comprising the leadership. When Eisler spoke, one could hear a pin fall. Each leader sat in rapt attention, hanging on to every word Eisler uttered, as if it were indeed a pronouncement from the Holy of Holies. On several occasions, he expressed the grave dissatisfaction of the Kremlin because of the failure of the party to take advantage of the broad People's Front movement to build progressive groups in participating organizations such as the National Association for the Advancement of Communist Principles. Oh, that's colored people. I'm sorry. Youth, religious, fraternal, labor, etc. These progressive groups, he said, were the only guarantee that the decisions we make with leaders would be brought down to and carried out by our membership. Unquote. Brent, your thoughts on that, please, sir?
Pretty much co-opt the status quo groups down at street level. And pretty much it tells you there were one of the people that have answers for everything given the marching orders, and they had no repercussion on them, you know, other than, you know, his State Department transgression of passport fraud, but they have no skin in the game, but they're whipping the others up.
Absolutely. And go ahead, sir. I'm sorry.
Well, and later on, we'll find that they had consequences.
Oh, yeah, big time. You don't back away from the powers that be. But to continue here a little bit with more of Mr. Johnson, he said, significantly, Eisler emphasized that the People's Front or Democratic Front is a maneuver only to lay the basis for firm communist direction and control of the masses. People, what do you have in America today? And two, that the leaders of non-communist organizations are drawn into joint movement with the communists to facilitate the infiltration, the ideological and organizational penetration of their respective organizations. After all, this is a fight for leadership to determine who shall lead the masses, the communist or Negro reformist. The progressive groups, consisting of communists, fellow travelers, sympathizers, liberals, etc., constitute the vehicle on which the Reds pin their present hope for victory. Never once were we allowed to forget the vacillating, uncertain, untrustworthy character of the Negro intellectual, the Negro minister, the Negro petty bourgeois, the Negro reformist, and the white socio-liberal philanthropic humanitarian supporter. They are accused on the basis of experience of running frantically from one group, red, to the other, capitalist, when the going gets tough. So that when communists unite with and support them today, it is necessary to keep in mind that it may be necessary to denounce them tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, hang them. Thus, as a participant on the highest level of the communist conspiracy in America, I observe the cold, calculating, ruthless nature of red power, politics, and political warfare, stripped of all of its illusory propaganda and idealistic cover. Your comments, please, Brent?
To bear that out, the last parts of what you said, the movie or video, The Czechist, it's still on YouTube for some reason. They did it back in the, I guess, earlier mid-90s at the fall of the Soviet Union. And they showed those very people, the Lickspittles, being executed. And they went to their executions with glee. They had party fervor and everything until that triggered or the hammer dropped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, The Czechist.
Okay, I'll have to check that out, brother. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, and don't have the kids nearby.
Okay, well, I don't have any that aren't adults, so I'm in pretty good shape there. But here was the thing that I was not surprised at with Manny Johnson and his work. And he said that one of the ways that they would lead this revolution, this communist revolution, was to take over and secure the black church, that the black church was instrumental to their program, which goes back to Reconstruction. We know that's true. And we know that's true today, not only in the black church, but the white church, Brent. We know that just as well. But to read from Mr. Johnson, he said that created doubt, lack of confidence, suspicion, setting up situations that bring about racial bitterness, violence, and conflict, putting forth demands so unrealistic that race relations are worsened, attacking everybody in disagreement as reactionaries, fascist Ku Kluxers among the whites and Uncle Toms among the Negroes. This constitutes the communist pattern of operation. Fortunately, the overwhelming majority of Negroes, in whose name the communists and their ilk presume to speak, have not at this time fallen for the brandishments of the Reds. Remember, folks, this is the 50s. They know a red light when they see one. The same cannot be said of many Negro intellectuals carrying the ball for these communists. Since the communists have always looked upon Negro intellectuals as shallow and superficial, phase mongers and incompetents, looking for a loaf when they, on a daily basis, are not worthy of a crumb. Now, folks, that's a quote from the communists themselves about blacks. Their pro-communist behavior becomes all the more tragic and ludicrous upon knowing this. Only after the order came from Moscow in the 1934 to 35 period to win over the Negro intellectual by deceptive flattery and adulation did the Reds' public attitude toward them change. The Kremlin concluded that these superficial phonies could serve our cause of communism. A large number of Negro ministers are all for the communists. Some are prominent and influential. Others are run of the mill. They in common believe that beating the racial drum is a shortcut to prominence, money, and the realization of personal ambitions, even if the Negro masses are left prostrate and bleeding. Expendables totally in the mad scramble for red power. So your thoughts on that, Brent?
When my father was alive, it's coming up on the fourth year of his ascending to wherever. And he had heavy involvement in his church. It was an AME church over here. And it seemed like the preachers they got in always wanted to get a hold of the building fund. And because they had built up quite like hundreds of thousands of bucks, and they were looking for a way to spend it. And you know, my father was on the committee that pretty much oversaw that. And, you know, they, you know, put the brakes on a lot of that stuff. You know, I think I haven't looked into them afterwards. I never really went to that church. You could probably count on one hand how many times I've been there. And but I'm sure they've gotten all that money and done what they wanted. The preachings were drivel. They had no substance to them in my book. And they were just, well, like the communists say, it was an opiate for the masses.
Oh, many times over. And Brent, there's a couple of questions here I wanted to ask you. Are you familiar with how during Reconstruction, the AME that you just mentioned split in the South, and they had two divisions, the AME and the ACE?
Well, from your teachings, yours is the only source I've found on that or have even bothered to look. I believe it's truthful. One was more or less conservative, and the other went with the Reconstructionist flow. With the onslaught of the Unitarians and all them coming in. And I never really knew anything about the Unitarians or any of those. The Transcendentalist, you see the name in a history book, even in school, but they never described who or what they were.
Oh, I wonder why. No, I don't. That was rhetorical. I'm sorry. But Brent, are you also familiar with the Freedmen's Bank during the war and during Reconstruction?
Yeah, it was started to, for the former slaves, to put money into a bank and have savings and what have you. And the scalawags running it pretty much ripped it off and propped up Frederick Douglass, as the president of it, to have him hold the bag. But he had done, a little bit of investigation and found out the insolvency also. It wasn't all hanging around his neck, but thing is, those clowns got away.
And no one ever paid back a penny of the over $3 million that these Jewish bankers stole from the black people who were trying to make the best of the freedom that they had. And that, to me, is just, I don't know, Brent, how can you get any more disreputable? How can you become any more of a just an absolute person who's doing nothing but breathing up good air than to steal people's money who are trying to improve themselves?
Other than hell being a special place, I would think there'd be a special place for them. And I didn't mention it. You did.
All right. But how many people, Brent, how many people actually ever have even heard of the Freedmen's Bank?
I hadn't before you had brought it up, over a year ago. That's when I heard about it.
Well.
And there's a lot of revelations, you're bringing up. Coach didn't really give us a history lesson.
Well, Coach didn't have a history lesson to give, Brent.
Yeah.
All he had was communist indoctrination.
And actually, I didn't have any coaches, for history teachers. These people were the regular history teachers. I think my last one, and she taught history, and then she taught a government class that I was in also. She got us closest to this, but it didn't even scratch the surface of what we're getting into.
And you know what, Brent? That is so sad. And to me, it is so sad today. And you and I have talked about this personally. It's so sad to me today that we have people out here who dislike another human being because of the color of their skin. And all of this has been produced by government. People don't naturally hate somebody because their skin's a different color.
Yeah. Oh, well, let's get into government a little bit.
All right, jump on it.
I was in the Marine Corps from 75 to the end of 81. And I was an admin clerk to start with, as well as a supply clerk and a marksmanship instructor. But one of my first task was I was a files and directives clerk for a grunt unit. That means the infantry.
L-311s.
Yeah. Okay. Three hump humps. And yeah. I wasn't one of them. I was a clerk. So we were low in their pecking order. But they had me on the racial statistic, or had me do the racial statistical report. Because the Marine Corps had racial problems back then. You know, brothers were doing the DAP, pretty much knuckle knocking in the mess hall, to the extent to where it went on so long and they were so involved that some brothers revolted as far as, hey man, let me eat my food and stuff. You know, because these clowns went around knuckle knocking. And, you know, the officers saw it and everything. And, well,
we got some music coming up. We'll be back on the other side, buddy. Hang on to that thought.
You can come and take it, but we'll warn you. You'll have to pry from our cold dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us. So you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea?
Day of
when we started
here on the 20th day of October. I'm sorry about that. In the year of 2023, and my host here, my co-host, Brent Bachman, was giving us some information. So at the time of his thoughts, Brent, would you proceed, please, sir?
Okay. We were talking about them having me do the racial statistical report for our unit. Also, I did the morning report, so I knew the numbers of people, you know, in the company, the platoons, you know, squads and what have you. And, you know, as to who's, you know, going to be promoted, what discipline was doled out amongst, you know, what racial groups and what have you. And my math wasn't all that great back then, nor is it now, but I guess those numbers were good enough for them. And, you know, and the officers do have some pretty damn good degrees and what have you. And, you know, one of our COs was a graduate of the Naval Academy, so he was dead nuts on. And, but I never had blowback over my numbers. Also, I had to do the promotion board because brothers would come up to me, you know, and say, oh, the Marine Corps is prejudiced, I can't get promoted. Well, you have to be recommended by your platoon sergeant and platoon commander. And if you don't get along with those people, you aren't going to get a recommendation. And pretty much it was easy to get promoted in the grunts once you had that. You know, their composite score was very low compared to mine. To get promoted to corporal for me, I would have had to get a 2800 or something like that. And the grunts only had to get from 700 to 900. And I had a 2100.
Wow.
So, you know, all I could do is get meritoriously promoted, and that's what proceeded to happen. And, yeah, the Marine Corps did have its problems, and I'd chalk it up to, and it's across the board, it's an old boys network. You know, if you ain't in the club, well, you don't get the bennies.
Hmm. Do you think that's true in all military branches, Brent?
Yes. Yes. You toe the line, or you get towed.
I would say you're spot on. But let's drop back here. It's almost top of the hour, so we'll have another break. But I wanted to read one paragraph here from Mr. Johnson. And he said, and Abner W. Berry, a columnist in the Daily Worker, which is the official organ of the Communist Party, recently praised these black ministers as fulfilling their historic role, for example, in delivering the Negro into the hands of the communist in America. Neither his pen nor his lips had such praise prior to the 34-35 period. Then the Moscow line was clear. The resolution on the Negro question stated, and we'll get back to that after the top of the hour. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to RBN. Take all our money and send it abroad. We must take America back. We need prayer in the schools and more things made in USA. It's the least we can do for the red, white, and blue. We must take
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.